pick sides. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Salutations and Happy New Year to all of our listeners and all those within our listening area, those that are online. We welcome you to 2023, the beginning of 2023 here at Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
Ed Edward.
Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and the region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call in, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is @ToneAndTenor. Our Instagram handle is @ToneAndTenorRadio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Our topic today is political arrogance, choosing position and power over people locally, regionally, and nationally. Those who are cowards will ask, is it safe? Those who are political will ask, is it expedient? Those who are vain will ask, is it popular? But those who have a conscience will ask, is it right? The Father Paul Washington here out of Philadelphia, the late Father Paul Washington. As we talk about, we're going to be talking about leaders. Leaders become great, not because of their power, but for their ability to elicit comment, commitment, compassion, consistent action, and follow through with others. Again, our topic today is political arrogance, choosing position and power over people locally, regionally, and nationally. Well, Pat, you know what? I forgot the popcorn. I had two bags of popcorn ready.
No, I didn't say popcorn. I said puppet, the puppeting. Yeah. That's a conversation for another
time. That's a different time. But I forgot the two bags of popcorn. As we came on the air again, this considering this country being top country in the world still does not have a speaker of the House. Mr. McCarthy is inching closer to that magic number, as you know. I disagree calling them rebels, but you know, the rebels, some of them have flipped to possibly put him in office. The 12th vote just took place, with Mr. McCarthy now outpacing Hakeem Jeffries by 213 votes. Hakeem Jeffries, a Democrat, 211. And the what they want to call the rebels, still there's seven, still holding out. So Mr. McCarthy is inching closer. You know, they're saying democracy is at work. He's negotiating, trying to get what he needs to become Speaker of the House. But as these negotiations continue, in 164 years, see, 164 years, there has not, you know, this is gone on longer than should have. But, you know, a lot of questions are going to arise from that. And, you know, just as we have a speaker in the House here in the state of Pennsylvania, and it was interesting because Pat and myself and several, we went to Harrisburg for the inauguration of the new of the House and the Senate and for the state of Pennsylvania.
And, yeah, I could have had a V8.
You know,
I could have had a V8, bro.
But you know what's interesting is, you know, one of the biggest problems is, and folks need to stop thinking they're ordained for a position of power when they don't have the votes. They should not be sworn in as a speaker, because here in Pennsylvania, I don't care what anybody said, it was an embarrassment to the city, Representative McClinton, you know, and throughout all of the papers. But see, this is one of the problems. When things are negotiated in public, in the eye of the public or in the newspapers, and you think that you have what you have, and then when you get smacked, and I said it, you got smacked, and the Democratic Party got smacked.
That's why she thinks you don't like her.
No, but that's not, it's not a matter. It's not a matter of like, I don't wear likes and all that on my shoulders. It's policy. You know, it's policy. You know, we have now from Berks County, this new speaker is Mr. Rossi. Congratulations to him. He was nominated by a Republican. You know, after negotiations, we were there. It wasn't until between the hours of 3 and 4 that the speaker was ascertained. And the speaker was, Mr. Rossi was nominated by the Republican out of Berks County. And Ms. McClinton said, when they passed the vote, she said that the party agreed. You know, I'm not sure whether, you know, they realized what was going to take place after that. But Mr. Rossi, who is a Democrat, as soon as he took the seat, he moved to become an independent. The Sergeant-at-Arms for the House is a Republican. And now we have to watch again, see what's going on. You know, but the business of the state, one thing I can say, the business of the state will get done because there is a speaker. Everybody has been sworn in. So the business of the state, but the business of the country, on this day, January 6th, 2 years after the insurgents of folks that stormed the U.S. Capitol, we can't say that. We cannot say that. So the business of the country, for those people that want passports, you know, folks in D.C. cannot talk to different offices, like Department of Transportation, FBI, or what have you. You can't get your passports. If you can't go to your representative-elect's office because there's nobody really installed to handle those situations. So, you know, a lot of people are probably saying, oh, this don't affect us. This doesn't affect me. This doesn't. It does. I was coming over here today, and some of the concessions was they may cut $75 billion from the budget for armed services. $75 billion. 19 people. At one time, 20 held people's feet to the fire. We're now, so I guess the negotiations are going according to plan now, you know, because there's only 7 that are possibly holding out. And, you know, there are different scenarios that if they say they're present and not vote, there's a possibility, the threshold for Mr. McCarthy to walk in to be speaker, if they just say present, because now the threshold goes from 218 down. So on the 13th vote, which may or may not happen today, there could be, Mr. McCarthy could be in the seat that he said he was rightfully his. I mean, this man took over the speaker's office before even being nominated. He is working out of the speaker's office in Congress. You know, and one of the votes, I forgot which one it was, there was a vote for Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House. You know, I guess that was for its and giggles. You know, I can't say the whole word that I want to say, but that, you know, and people, you must realize this. The Speaker of the House does not have to be an elected official. If you did not know it, somebody could, they could have nominated the clerk who's doing a fantastic job of trying to keep, because she technically is in charge of the House until a speaker is put into place. You know, that's managing 434 egos. You know, and the Democrats are staunch. You know, they lost one vote for Mr. Jeffries on the 12th because one of the members, Democratic members, was not present to vote, was not in the House floor. So you have to look at this. You know, this is the problem that we have with politics today. People believe that they ordained because of party or because of how much money they got behind them or what have you. But I'm here to tell you, some of you that are already, that are freshmen in the state of Pennsylvania and or in the U.S. House or even across this, watch, you're only 2 years. As quickly as you got there, you can be removed. So take your arrogance, lack of concern, lack of returning phone calls, lack of turning your backs on those that helped put you there. Remember, at the end of the day, you're only there for 2 years. That's both here in Pennsylvania and the United States Congress. But I'm going to digress for a minute, Pat, and, you know, I want to... a friend of ours and a backer of this show and has been on the show many, many, many times. We want to wish him speedy recovery. U.S. Senator, senior U.S. Senator Robert P. Casey, who was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer. We wish him well as he goes through his treatments, and we look forward to seeing him and hearing from him in the near future. But health over anything comes first, you know. So we wish him well and hope that he has a successful recovery. You know, that's, you know, and then we have a new state senator, I mean U.S. senator here, and Mr. John Fetterman. We also have Governor-elect Josh Shapiro is making moves. And here in Pennsylvania, former, what do they call him, Pat? Over where Omar Shabir, but it'll come back to me. But he will be he has been nominated by Governor-elect Josh Shapiro to be the Secretary of State. So we wish him well in his new endeavors. But, you know, I'm thinking, and I said this on Tuesday, you know, the 3rd, that the southeast part of this state has to realize that they don't control the state any longer. The bully pulpits are no longer being looked at. You can't bully your way into places any longer. People want results. And that goes for Republicans, Democrats, and independents. People want results. People are hurting. We have to, and you have to, as elected officials, look at this and know that people are out here hurting. Yes, you were voted in. You were voted in by the people. But stop. Please stop. Only addressing the few. You have to. Our smaller townships, our smaller boroughs, you know, they are just as important as Philadelphia or Pittsburgh. Our colleges, our African-American colleges, our smaller colleges, our smaller institutions are just as important as the mega institutions. Our healthcare system is just as important. Our law enforcement is important. Our educational system, which, I mean, even our superintendent here said that there's problems here in Philadelphia. Our children, some of our children are graduating from high school with a sixth grade reading level. That is unacceptable. Generational welfare is unacceptable. You know, we have folks sitting talking about generational wealth. Well, you can't have generational wealth if people don't understand what generational wealth means. Am I correct, Pat? You can't understand that. We're on the 13th vote right now in the U.S. House of Representatives, and right now Mr. McCarthy has 34 votes. Mr. Jeffries has 38, and there are still two other votes that are out there. I'm sorry, 34 votes for Mr. McCarthy, 41 votes for Mr. Jeffries, and two votes still standing. So there may be, at the end of the day, after the 13th vote, there may be a speaker. And the business of the government of the United States may begin to take place. But remember, folks, today is January 6th. 2 years ago, there was an insurgent on our Capitol. You know, it's all well and good that we are giving people all of these medals, that we're doing this and all that. But we need to get back to a country of stability. We need a president that when they address the folks, that they don't keep calling, no slap to President Biden, but instead of acknowledging the vice president of Vice President Harris, he called the President Harris again, and he's on his way to the border. And folks, if you remember, Vice President Harris was supposed to be the one to help secure the border. We have not seen any plans from the vice president. So we have to begin to really start as we go into the 2023-2024 election cycle, whether it be municipal, whether it be in our states, or whether it be national, to become edumacated, and I say edumacated, on civics and what it means to be an elected official and who will vote and do for you in the best interests, in your best interests. Again, not because you're guaranteed a uniform, not because you're guaranteed a box of food, not because you're guaranteed a turkey, but that you're guaranteed a life that you can live and be comfortable living it. We have to stop electing officials that only cater to those that are weak because they can control them. My hat's off to the 19 that held out for 20 that held out for 11 rounds. But this is Some are saying this is democracy being done in public to see how our folks that we elect are acting. We need to make sure that once whoever is in there and they are sworn in, that you hold their feet to the fire and you keep them on track. Make sure they're transparent. Make sure they're responsible. Make sure they're accountable, credible, and knowledgeable. What do you say to that, Pat? Are you muted?
Yeah, sorry, a bunch of background noise. Can then ask me a question? Ask me that question again.
I said, as we move forward, we need to make sure that on whatever level of government, that we make sure that our acronym TRAC, that they are held to be transparent, responsible, accountable, credible, and knowledgeable of their positions. I don't know what's going on with Pat today. He must be muted or in an area where he cannot hear us. But with that said, we're going to take our first commercial break, and then hopefully we'll have Pat back, and he'll be able to comment on what's going on.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eyeball and eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to my nation. That's what the world is today. The sale of pills are at an all-time high. Your folks walking down with their heads in the sky. Sound so shooting rockets to the moon, kids growing up too soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything. So
round and around and around we go. Where the world's headed, said nobody knows.
Welcome back here. Tony Tenner here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5. Our topic today is political arrogance, choosing position and power over people locally, regionally, and nationally. A politician thinks of the next election as a statesman of the next generation. A politician looks for the success of his party, a statesman for that of his country. The statesman wishes to steer, while the politician is satisfied to drift. That's a very well quote. And that's what we need to really start to really look at in 2023 if we're going to overcome economy deficits, inflation, educational dysfunctionality, you know, and move this country forward. Move this city forward. Move all of our cities forward, our townships forward, our boroughs forward. and our nation forward.
Wow. I definitely agree with that. I don't know. This is it's an interesting topic because, you know, I've mentioned this before, and I've mentioned this in public forum and private forum. And privately, I could probably be a little bit more raw, but on the public forum, I've talked about culture.
Mm.
Right. It's culture. This is a cultural thing. Like when you go to when we talk about great migrations or the flight that happens every 30 years, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need to get into particulars, but y'all know what it is if you don't look it up. You know, every 30 years, people are either running to the city or from the city.
Absolutely.
And then also, a clear indicator of what your town is going to look like or your area is going to look like is go to the closest mall.
Mm.
We go to the closest mall, even if it's strip mall, it'll give you an indicator of what the next probably like 15 to 25, 30 look like. And we don't have these conversations because people don't really study or worry about analytics. Now, I'm not saying like I'm this analytical genius or anything, but I do study and try to understand common practice, right? Like, you know, we talked about, I think on one of the previous shows recently, we talked about best practices, right? And this is like a line out of two of my mentors' books is like, best practices historically have kept people out, you know, be it, you know, sexual orientation, color of their skin, income, zip code.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So best practices, unfortunately, most of them might have to go off into the sunset, and we need to be looking at just practices, right, or things that actually work. Like, that work, does that work for – because everything's not going to work for everybody, but there should be things that do work for the majority. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's kind of my two cents on that.
But, you know, you said something that was interesting because you started to talk about strip malls and what have you, and that's a good segue to what's interesting. There's Macy's is set to close even more of their stores. You know, so when you ride past some of these places, especially here in the outlying areas of Philadelphia and surrounding major cities, you see no anchor stores. And what happens is when there's no foot traffic, then the smaller business, because, you know, we're always talking about small business. When these bigger anchor stores close, it has a ripple effect on the smaller businesses because now your foot traffic has now gone down, which means those small businesses that relied on foot traffic now have to either pivot and find a new business plan or close. Close. What happens to our economy? We are now putting other people out of work. And because we allowed for folks to just scoop up, big businesses to scoop up one another and actually become too big for their britches. And I did say britches. You know, I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew what I said, especially those that are on that button in there. You know.
Oh. Big for their briskets.
Yeah.
But no, that's, I mean, you know, I think sometimes you know, it's like you said, it's not purpose or people, right? It's projections. You know, I'm mm-hmm. projected to do this next thing. You know, because you know, professionals are worried about winning. Amateurs are worried about issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's true.
Sad but true. And politics makes for strange bedfellows. No permanent interests. Just no permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interests.
Mm-hmm.
And most times in history, people do what's in the best interest of either themselves or they play party lines, right? Because, you know, Republicans get in line and Democrats fall out with each other. That's just historically from what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They will go negotiate. I mean, look, what we in day 13 votes later, 20 Republicans. They're calling them rebels. I'm calling them Republicans. They're standing their ground until they negotiate what's best, not only for, you know, the power that they conceived. I'm going to say conceived power, but they're looking at what's best for their constituency. And this is where a lot of our elected officials, both Democrat, Republican, and independent, or as they're putting out here, other, forget the constituency. Constituency right now for the United States of America that have representatives cannot go to an office because technically they don't have anyone representing them right now because no one in the House has been sworn in. So what happens is, what's happening is, a lot of them will probably go to the senator's office because the Senate did swear in and each state has two senators. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had this conversation. A lot of folks here in Philadelphia, I don't know whether it happens across the country, but they will go to their House of Representatives office because they feel as though they can get the work done and will not be pushed aside by their council person.
Yeah. I mean, and that stands for, you know, I'm actually going to share one quote now and one later. This is another Abraham Lincoln. You know, I think he has some profound quotes, you know, and a lot of people still don't know. Abraham Lincoln's mother was half black, right? So, but anyway, character is like a tree. And reputation is like its shadow. The shadow is what we think of it, but the tree is the real thing. Right? So sometimes, often, I think when people get in certain positions of power, perceived power, or puppet power, they they often just start believing stuff that's not true, right? They start believing, oh,
they start believing the hype. You saw me. They start getting hype, you know.
I mean, but you need people around you, the right people. You really need people that are going to tell you no or tell you, hey, that's not right. Or
keep quiet, tell us a done deal.
Sure, that too.
You know.
No, that too.
This is what, you know, and I have to apologize that Al Schmidt's name just went out of my mind, and I was congratulating him. He is the president and CEO of the Committee 70, and he was a former city commissioner on the Board of Elections for the County of Philadelphia. Now, mind you, I'm going to say County of Philadelphia, not Philadelphia, not the city, the county of Philadelphia.
Well, when you find it, you let me know. I've never seen it.
Well, he has been.
I've seen a city. I've never seen a county.
Well, it's supposed to be the county. You know, they're even though, you know, until something changes, the mayor and councils here in the city of Philadelphia actually runs the county, so to speak, as well. But he has been tapped by Governor-elect Josh Shapiro to be a Secretary of State. So whether you like Mr. Shapiro or not, you know, and a lot of people are saying, the moderates are saying he sold out or whatever. The only way you can get the business of the people done, you have to have inclusion. You can't have selective inclusion. You know, Mr. Smith was the Republican on the Philadelphia County Board of Commissioners. He was the commissioner there until he stepped down and went to the Committee of 70. And I guess he'll now step down from the Committee of 70 and be installed once the governor is installed as the Secretary of State. So again, I have to say we congratulate him as well. You know, and people here in Philly, you know, people have been getting tired of the West, which is Allegheny County, against Philadelphia County, which is the East. You know, and in that inclusion of the southeastern part of the state, you have Montgomery County, from which Mr. Shapiro is from. You have Chester County, Bucks County, Philadelphia County on the eastern part of the state. So everyone is now tired of, and Delaware County. You know, people are tired of being stepchildren to Philadelphia County. These counties are now need to be included in the process the same way as when a road in, say, Delaware County has problems, it should be addressed the same as a road in Philadelphia County. And being a county in a state, a county in a city here in Philadelphia, we have always have these problems that even though a street, Market Street, Broad Street, our major streets, Chestnut Street, Walnut Street, they're all state highways. The Schuylkill Expressway is not the only state highway in the city of Philadelphia.
Well, the Schuylkill Expressway is actually a federal road.
But again,
the ones running adjacent are
the state
MLK
highway.
Drive and Kelly are state highways.
Are state highways. I apologize.
But they're not in that great shape either.
Yeah,
to be quite
no.
frank with you.
And that's because, I mean, but you can probably get things quickly done by the size of your county sometimes than you can besides the, you know, the size.
Yeah, no.
And relationships.
Okay, that's you know, the other piece.
Relationships.
I'm gonna say, I've known Gene Blum, who is a wonder to be around and to talk to for years. I think he's the outgoing executive director of PennDOT. And I mean, there's times where I've called him or what's the brother's name? Kasim Ali. I think he's still the acting, I don't know, I was like 7 years later, he's still the acting traffic controller here, but that's just crazy to me. But I mean, these guys are really knowledgeable about just traffic. I didn't even know about, I mean, I got a whole education on traffic studies and all this cool stuff, which I thought was pretty amazing. But yeah, I agree with him. It does boil down to, you know, historically, how does that section or that district in PennDOT, I know that if you live in the 5-county area, you're in District 6. Mm-hmm. And again, if you don't have the best relationship with District 6, which some people do not have, for whatever reason, it's none of my business, you may not get served. You may not get served as quickly as everybody else, you know. Or, if, you know, enough people don't make enough of a fuss because people don't know who to call or to reach out to. And this is why it's extremely important for all of us to have our own individual relationships with our state reps, our state senators. I know me personally, you know, my state senator, I have their phone number, but that's because I used to work for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my state rep, you know, we were hanging out in his office, and I've had a pretty good relationship with him over the years. You know, after we had a couple of tips with me, you know, holding him accountable, you know, so, but it's like, it's not personal. Don't take it personal. Like, this is what your people need. This is what should happen. This is what should be going down in the communities that you promised to serve with fidelity. So we need to hold people to a certain standard, and also ourselves, right? Because we send people to Harrisburg, we send people to
Congress and U.S. Congress and U.S. Senate.
Congress, I mean D.C. and City Hall and our townships and borough halls, and you know, there's really like no serious accountability because you know most people don't vote; they don't know. And you don't know what you don't know.
You know, and
you
the other
find out what you don't know.
The other problem is, Pat, mm-hmm. is that sometimes the folks that we're sending to these institutions don't know. You know, we
That's true too.
Remember, we had this conversation over, you know, we had this conversation while we were in Harrisburg with several of the colleagues and friends and, you know, relationships that we have and that we fostered over the years.
And some great people.
And we sat back and some of the things that were said, you know, I was on good behavior. I totally disagreed with them. You know, because of my ability to move around throughout the years, you know. And this is what, you know, we need folks, as Pat always said, we need some folks to move out the way, but we also need folks to be there to mentor, to guide. You know, put your egos aside. Put your power-driven, personal, family, want you to be this or that aside. And remember that those are the people and the folks that you bring behind you. Whether you like it or not, you need to mentor some folks so that they understand the process. Because, look, there's a picture out there, and, you know, what happened in Harrisburg, I don't think the people understood the process on what went down. And it happened between the 3 and 4 o'clock hour when we had to get ready to go back, come back to Philadelphia on the train. We were, you know, we didn't drive, so we had to wait for the train, and we had to make sure we were at the train. But the faces of astonishment, I'll never get over some of those faces. And weeks ago, I said here, and I said, and Pat and I had these conversations. I said, something is not right. Something's going to go down. I don't know what. But because of that gridlock, you know, you have to our elected officials, you have to stop putting the cart before the horse.
Sure.
You know, you have to stop listening to these novices that get up there once you're elected. So I'm with my next this or I'm with my next that. You're not next anything until you are sitting there and you have those votes.
True. We haven't controlled the House since like 92, 93. I've said this several times. So I don't know why. Maybe I'm just talking to you and myself, you know, in the 10 listeners that we have.
We got more than that.
You know,
we got more.
We got some new listeners. We got some new listeners out in the county. Appreciate y'all.
We have more than that. We have more than
that. He's being
facetious, silly, ladies and gentlemen, because the ones that listen, look, if we didn't have listeners, you know, we wouldn't have potential mayoral candidates. We have not reached out to anyone reaching out to us. Or we're in spaces. When can I come on? When can we talk? You know, and the problem that I have, and Pat and I have, is that how do we, when you have 10 plus running for mayor of Philadelphia, 20 plus running for council at large, how do you determine which ones without being discriminatory? I'm not bringing people on because they're friends of mine. That's not how we work here at Tone and Tenor. So if anybody's got that in their mindset, if you look at our guest list, some people don't even speak to me or speak to us in space, but they have been on this show. And they're given the opportunity to tell us or tell our listeners. It's not about Pat. It's not about me. It's about trying to make sure our listeners know what you're about, what you're going to do for them, not for me. You know, I don't want no honorary badge while I'm still stealing from others. You know?
I think, we definitely hold people to a higher a higher standard, and that's the norm. It's been the norm of Tone Tenor. I've been here for what?
3 years.
3 years now. Yeah, that's just the norm. And, you know, if people don't like
and you know,
close
Pat,
your ears.
And I'm going to say this, you know, with all the dysfunctionality going down in, oh, dang, you know what? Did we skip our second break?
Oh, yeah, we can take a quick one.
We need to take a quick break here. You're listening to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk, 860 AM and WPEN 97.5. I think Wes over there sleeping.
Walk with me, I'll walk with you. Down these troubled roads, we've stumbled into. We're all in this thing together, we're gonna make it through. If you walk with me, I'll walk with you. Be there for me, I'll be there for you. When we're running out of hope, when we don't know what to do, like a candle in the darkness, shining bright and true, be there for me.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM and WPEN 97.5 HD2. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
And just a quick quote, and I know Pat has one too, but democracy, taking in its narrow, purely political sense, suffers from the fact that those in economic and political power possess the means for molding public opinion to serve their own class interests. The democratic form of government in itself does not automatically solve problems. It offers, however, a useful framework for their solution. Everything depends ultimately on the political and moral qualities of the citizenry. That's a quote from Albert Einstein, you know, the guy with the hair all over his head. You know, they're talking about democracy, and we're talking about power, and that's what we're talking about here today, political arrogance, the position and power over people. You know, once you get in that position, again, I will say it and I will continue. The people are your bosses, and people, you have to understand that you are these elected officials' bosses and you can get them out. I mean, what's happening down in Washington? If you go back to John Boehner got into the speakership. John Boehner was voted out. Paul Ryan threw up his hands and said, I had enough. Nancy Pelosi, in her last stint, she had to negotiate with the young guns, and that's what I'm going to call them, that were coming in, because they felt as though she was too old, which, you know, in public opinion, some may say yes, some may say no. But they came together. They came together, and they did not have the fiasco that's going on right now on January 6th, the day of insurgent, and Mr. McCarthy, who potentially will be the Speaker of the House, was part of the problem. There has to be a healing process. In every form of government in these United States, there has to be a healing process. And if you do not have that healing process, then we have a problem. We will be just as dysfunctional as we were last year, the year before, and the year. And the only thing that gets passed is resolutions. And folks, resolutions are not bills. So when somebody says we passed this, this, and this, take the resolutions out, because only about 2% of bills are passed. And then that's if they make it out of committee. So right now, this is January 6th, day of insurgent, day of when those try to take over the capital of the United States, when lives were lost. For what purpose? They were saying democracy. Democracy isn't telling you to go take over the building and kill people. You know, even today, even this week, one of the folks that holdouts said, do I need, they still keep a gas mask and a bulletproof vest in their office. You can't govern always thinking somebody's going to overthrow the government. You can't. And when you have people that represent you that are saying this, that means they're fearful. That means there's something else getting ready to go down, or they think something else is going down. So no matter who wins the speakership, as they are on the 13th vote right now with Mr. Jeffries at 211, Mr. McCarthy at 210, and evidently somebody else hasn't flipped yet. There are presently six people that are still standing in the way of Mr. McCarthy's, what he thought and what he said in a quote, I've earned this position. You know, what is he going to do with it if he gets the position? How much did he have to give up? Will you hold his feet to the fire? Will you hold your present elected officials in your states, in your townships, in your boroughs, in your cities, feet to the fire? Are you going to put them on track? And you're going to hear more and more about track, and you're going to hear, look, anybody that comes on here, there's five letters in track. I want you to explain how you're going to do each one of those, if you seek elected office. You know, Pat, we're at the end of our show, man. I didn't realize we were that close to time. So with that said, I just want to leave with this, and then Pat will chime in. An intelligent person is constantly hesitating with life. With every step, he wonders whether what he is doing is okay or not, but a fool is absolutely confident. You want to add to that, Pat? I guess Pat's probably on mute again. So, you know, I want to just say to our listeners, thank you for 11 years. I forgot my two bags of popcorn. Congratulations to all those that have been elected or selected. And make sure that you, to our people that listen, to every voter, make sure you hold these people's feet to the fire. Listeners, follow our show on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor to find our page. Are you with us, Pat? Guess Pat's not with us. We just wanted to say thank you to listening to Tone and Tenor. We want to thank Wes, our engineer for the day, and all those here at WWDB Talk 860 AM who help us stay on the air. Today marks 2 years since the rioters violently stormed the Capitol to try to stop the certification of electoral votes, declaring Joe Biden as the winner of the 2020 election. The attack, which resulted in the death of two Capitol police officers and one rioter, followed a speech by then-President Donald Trump in which he falsely claimed the election had been stolen and urged supporters to march to the Capitol from the ellipse outside the White House. I'm Randall Jefferson, and I'll say thank you to Pat. Pat's offline. We'll see you next week.
Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Most people think great God will come from the sky. Take away everything.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers.